On the Trail in April and May by William G. Hartley. The following representation of events that took place in April and May 1847 is provided as part of the sesquicentennial celebration of the arrival of the Latter-day Saint pioneers to the Salt Lake Valley in July 1847. In April and May 1847, the main groups of the Latter-day Saints and their leaders were in either Winter Quarters, Nebraska, and the nearby surrounding areas, or on the trail west with President Brigham Young and the First Wagon Train, or Advance Exploratory Company known as the Camp of Israel. In Winter Quarters, Nebraska, Elder Parley P. Pratt returns to Winter Quarters from his mission in England. I crossed over the ferry at noon of a fine April day and came suddenly upon my friends and family. This was April 8, 1847. I found my family all alive and dwelling in a log cabin. They had, however, suffered much from cold, hunger, and sickness. One of the family was then lying very sick with the scurvy. I found, on inquiry, that the winter had been very severe, the snow deep, and consequently that all my horses, four in number, were lost, and I afterwards ascertained that out of 12 cows I had but 7 left, and out of some 12 or 14 oxen, only 4 or 5 were spared. I had an interview with President Brigham Young and others. I then gave a relation of our European mission and delivered to them an account of 469 sovereigns in gold, collected in England as tithing, which had crossed the sea in my charge. This small sum proved a very acceptable and timely relief in aiding the presidency to relieve some of the distress and to fit out as pioneers for the mountains. Winter Quarters Mail. Letters flowed to and from the Winter Quarters area. From her tent in Winter Quarters, Mary Richards, aged 23, wrote the following letter to her missionary husband, Samuel, who was serving in England. She started writing on 15 April, but because the mail did not leave Winter Quarters daily or even weekly, she had time to add to it, which she did until 27 April. Among the matters she discussed with Samuel was the hat-making business she and her in-laws were venturing into. 15 April. Mother is getting much better and is now sitting on the bed so as to give us more room in the tent. She has finished sewing 2 hats and is now to work on the third, one of which I have braided since my return home. So you see, we are not idle. I expect I shall have to work this summer in order that I may eat, so I have chosen the straw business as my occupation. 17 April. Mother has sold 5 hats this spring and gotten good pay for them, but Henry, Samuel's 15-year-old brother, doesn't love to braid. 27 April. Mother is quite smart. She has all the straw work she can do. People flock in to get hats made, bonnets cleaned, etc. With the Camp of Israel, Elder Orson Pratt, man of science. Before leaving Winter Quarters, the saints had ordered the following scientific instruments from England: 2 sextants, 1 circle of reflection, 2 artificial horizons, 2 barometers, several thermometers, and a telescope. The instruments arrived 13 April 1847. A man of great intellect and scientific ability, Elder Orson Pratt of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles cared for and used these instruments along the trail as he recorded the latitude and longitude and made other important measurements. William Clayton was only one of several who wrote of Elder Orson Pratt's scientific work. On 24 April, William Clayton wrote, "Evening, I walked over to Orson Pratt's wagon, and through his telescope saw Jupiter's 4 moons very distinctly, never having seen them before. I went over to my wagon and looked through my glass, and could see them with it, but not so distinct as with Orson's." Fuel, water, and food. Once on the treeless Nebraska prairies, the Camp of Israel needed a new source of fuel, and they found a plentiful supply in buffalo chips. Howard Egan, a Camp of Israel diarist, explained in his 30 April entry, "Stopped about 5 p.m. and encamped about 2 miles from the river near a bluff, with neither wood nor water. We picked up some dry buffalo dung, which made a very good fire, and we dug a well and found plenty of water." The skills of hunting and fishing were basic to the survival of the Camp of Israel. Journal and diary entries for April and May 1847 tell of plentiful game, such as fish, snapping turtles, ducks, antelope, deer, hares, wild geese, and rattlesnakes, used for their oil. However, it was the great herds of buffalo that provided the largest source of food for travelers across the plains of Nebraska. Both William Clayton and Elder Wilford Woodruff described these herds in their journals on 8 May. "The prairie on both sides of the river is literally black with buffalo," wrote William Clayton. "I should imagine that at moderate calculation, we have seen over 50,000. They are more tame than they have been and will stand till the wagons come within 200 yards of them. Porter Rockwell has shot one about 2 years old. The meat looks nice. There is no difficulty in getting meat enough." Elder Woodruff wrote, "It looked as though the face of the earth was alive and moving like the waves of the sea." Chimney Rock, the halfway mark. Chimney Rock, with its distinctive pinnacle, stood about 260 feet above the prairie and was therefore visible for 40 miles to overland travelers. It became a landmark for the saints of the halfway point of their journey. The camp of Israel arrived at Chimney Rock on 26 May. While there, Elder Orson Pratt calculated its height. After the group moved on to Scott's Bluff, Elder Woodruff wrote, "In company with Brigham Young and the 12, we visited the top of the two of the highest bluffs, which were truly a curiosity." Orson Pratt took a barometrical observation on the only tree, which was red cedar, on the top of the ruins or bluff which we visited. "We still had a fair view of Chimney Rock from where we were. I carried a bleached buffalo bull's head onto the top and wrote upon it with a pencil our names and distances from several places for the benefit of the next camp." Note: William G. Hartley, an associate professor of history and research professor at BYU's Joseph Fielding Smith Institute, teaches Sunday school in the Riverside Third Ward, Murray, Utah North Stake. End of note. End of the article, On the Trail in April and May, by William G. Hartley.